This is Twit.
All right, folks, you have probably heard by this time about everything that TikTok is going through right now. If you haven't, then maybe you're one of the folks that's just like, I want nothing to do with TikTok. I don't know what it is. I don't want to know what it is. And that's understandable. But the fact is, TikTok is a huge social sharing app, and it is incredibly important to quite a few people. And that is why it has been at the center of many a conversation in these past weeks. And when you look online and you try to find someone who can talk about TikTok and talk about it in relation to new products from Instagram, compare it to Snapchat, and talk about the sort of media landscape, I think there may not be a better person to talk to than Sarah Fisher from Axios. And we have Sarah with us here today, and I'm so pumped. Thank you for joining us, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So let us get into things. TikTok obviously it's been around for a while, and it is kind of a community unto itself. And along with this sort of proliferation of TikTok has been a bit of a concern about what the app is, what it does, and what its sort of existence really is meant for. And I'm hoping that you can give our listeners, our viewers, a little bit of an understanding about why there's even any conversation about the company needing to potentially sell itself to a United States-based company in order to be able to continue to exist in the United States. What is it about TikTok that has led to this mistrust that exists in the first place?
TikTok is an app that's owned by a Chinese company called ByteDance. You've probably heard of the three big Chinese companies, that's Baidu, Alibaba, and Tencent. ByteDance is an up-and-coming big company. And the concern is that people's data from the United States will be shipped off to the Chinese government if they're using TikTok. And TikTok has vehemently denied this. They say they do not store data in China. They say that it doesn't get sent to the government. But obviously, there's a lot of national security concern, both from Republicans and Democrats. Now, in a typical administration, you would evaluate these concerns, and then you might kick it over to CFIUS, the Committee for Foreign Investment in the United States, to determine whether or not we should roll back TikTok's acquisition of a U.S. app called Musical.ly, therefore sort of unbundling it from the U.S. You might have national security law enforcement take a look at TikTok, maybe people from the DHS. You wouldn't probably do an outright ban, but this is the Trump administration. It's the wild, wild west. And so upon news that Trump might ban it, there's a lot of social media rivals that are trying to create their own TikToks within their apps like Instagram, maybe Snapchat. And then there's a lot of rival apps that are just trying to take advantage of the moment, like Byte, Dubsmash. They're all trying to create these like new TikTok rivals that could be the next big thing if it gets banned.
Okay. So I guess that definitely provides a bit of an understanding about, you know, where TikTok comes into the landscape and why there is that concern there. There's obviously been this conversation about Microsoft buying TikTok, and with that has come even more conversation about Microsoft potentially going and buying all parts of TikTok, as opposed to just the parts that kind of touch the United States in such a way that there would need to be a ban if those parts weren't owned by a United States company. But I'm kind of interested in the culture of TikTok and the introduction of TikTok. And I'd love to know, as someone who covers TikTok and similar apps, you know, Snapchat, I see in your stories, and we'll talk about Instagram Reels in a second. Do you have any idea of what it is about this app and this service that has really drawn people in? Do you have any sort of, thesis statements, so to speak, about the
unique— TikTok is really simple. The layout and format is incredibly conducive to being able to spend hours and hours on it. There are not spaces between posts. There's not clunky hashtags. Everything is embedded on top of the videos. They're completely full screen on your iPhone. So the content is really a focus. And that's totally different than things like Instagram, where between posts you have all these likes and you have all of these hashtags and descriptions. TikTok is just about the video. That's one. Two, TikTok is all video. So when you're scrolling through Instagram, you might get a static image here and there, and that slows down the pace of it. Not the case with TikTok, all video. And then the last thing is TikTok is super authentic. The way the algorithm is built, it's meant to elevate everyday creators. If you do something and you're a nobody, but your video is awesome, millions of people could watch it and millions of people could decide to like it or follow you. That doesn't really happen on Instagram because the algorithm is catered to your own personal preferences. So even if there's really cool content out there, let's say it's someone shooting a basketball hoop while doing a dance. If my Instagram is only catered to my interests, which could be fashion and beauty, I'm never going to see that viral post. And that's why creators traditionally have not loved Instagram. And I think that's why users are getting a little bit sick of it too, because it's not a place where you can be totally authentic and that anyone could build an audience. It's really a place for the most high-end creators. And I think TikTok is just a more authentic, raw footage type of app. And I'm curious to see when Instagram adds its own TikTok-like feature through Reels, if it gets any traction in that atmosphere.
That is what I'm curious about as well. We've seen Instagram in the past very clearly come forth and say, yeah, we added Instagram stories because Snapchat's stories feature was great, and why not copy things that are good that we could add to our app? And so Instagram kind of has had a history of choosing to take on features that it sees from other things and unashamedly kind of steal them and make them their own in some ways, and in some ways not so much. And when I was on Instagram the other day and tapped on the little new button in stories to see this addition, what stuck out to me is the way that this feels like it is just an added on, glommed on sort of third appendage, as it were, that makes it, it doesn't feel as natural. TikTok seems to be built from the base to be TikTok, as opposed to an app that already does so much with Instagram on its own and then having this feature added on. And I do wonder how big of a role, and if you could explain to our listeners and viewers as well what duets are, how big of a role do you see duets playing in the success of TikTok versus that? I'm not seeing that on Instagram's new Reels feature, and maybe that was something that I missed, but do you feel like that's an important part of what makes TikTok so successful?
Not really. I think it's one big part of it, sure. But I think what makes TikTok successful is that it is a completely separate app from Instagram and Facebook and everything else. And so it was a place where young users could go and they didn't think their parents were going to be there or their teachers or anyone else, so they could truly be themselves. The problem with embedding TikTok-like features into Instagram is that a lot of people use Instagram. They have over a billion users worldwide. And so if you're a young kid and you are posting fun, goofy dances or inside jokes, like, you might not want to do that on your Instagram because your teachers are there and your parents are there. I think that's the biggest problem, number one. I think number two, the other problem is Facebook has toyed with whether or not they would make a separate standalone app for this type of function. They created Lasso, or they bought Lasso a little while back, and they shut it down because it's really hard to grow an app from the bottom up. So what they decided to do instead was, well, let's just try embedding it within our own app and see if the features get adopted. The problem, though, as you said at the top of the show, is sometimes you end up adding so many features that it's confusing and it's overwhelming for the users. I mean, if you go on the main Facebook app these days, there's so much to do between gaming and events and watch and a news tab that people are just overwhelmed by it. And the concern for Instagram is that the same thing's going to happen. You know, they added stories, they've added boomerangs, they added a non-chronological algorithmic distribution on its feed. They've added new kinds of filters. I mean, there's so much going on. The concern is that there's going to be so much that users just get lost in the features. Whereas TikTok right now is just super simple. It's just one interface, one click, record your video and go.
Yeah. And I think there are two aspects to when we look at a company and we kind of look at how we feel about that company. What I find interesting is that Facebook – for most of its time has been a little bit walled off in terms of sharing how it works internally. And despite that, you know, until I would say the Mark Zuckerberg press conference, or not the press conference, but the, you know, him going to Congress and having to speak, up to that point, the large side of the community, you know, folks outside of the tech space, maybe didn't have as much mistrust for Facebook as they did after that hearing took place. Meanwhile, there's been this weird misunderstanding, maybe, or fear about what TikTok does and what it has to offer. And yet TikTok, as you covered this, TikTok's new CEO says the company will reveal how its algorithms work. Then it came out with more information about what it does and what it doesn't do and what data it shares where. And it's interesting to me how TikTok seems to lay all of this bare and becomes more of an example of what you would want from a social media company from the aspect of privacy and data protection. And Facebook on the other side, you know, being known as a company that is a data broker in the way that folks go on the platform, they pay to have their ads distributed to certain individuals. And I think that that does play a role in those of us who are more in the know, kind of understanding the difference between the two. But can you talk just briefly about TikTok revealing its algorithms, how they work, and what that means? Why is that important, and why was that kind of a powerful move by the company?
It's a great PR stunt. I don't buy it for a single second that they're going to be revealing anything that is super impactful. No tech company ever wants to reveal its true algorithms, because then there can be very easily gamed. I don't expect TikTok to be much different. Sure, it'll reveal the code if you go to a little transparency center in LA, and it will show you the code that it uses to make content moderation decisions. But at the end of the day, there are so many different things that could change in the code. There are so many different ways that they could apply different reasonings and changes to it that I don't think this is the end-all be-all of transparency. They also said that they would share how their data flow works with regulators. It doesn't mean that they're sharing with users where your data goes. It doesn't mean that they're going to be sharing the full piece of it. I think that was a smart PR stunt. I don't know if it's necessarily TikTok truly opening up the vest, because I don't think any platform can truly open up the vest. Otherwise, you are welcoming bad actors to come in and exploit your platform. But what I do agree with you is that they've been smart about this PR battle in a way that Facebook maybe hasn't. Facebook has a reputation of not being good with user data. Obviously, the Cambridge Analytica scandal did not help with that. At the time, they didn't have as much experience dealing with Congress, so they weren't as forthcoming in the beginning as they should have been. TikTok is coming into this, even though there's a lot of skepticism around their app being tied to the Chinese government, as kind of the more favorable player, because I think a lot of people are just sort of sick of hearing about Facebook's dominance over and over. And so I think the bottom line here is that all these companies have to do a better job about being transparent about content moderation and data and all of that. But really what we're going to need is smart congressional investigations, smart oversight of these platforms by the government if we really want to get down to what they're actually doing. Don't expect these platforms to be forthcoming and show you everything. From a business perspective, they can't.